I'm out of breath. Do you ever do things and you think to yourself, oh my God, someday I'm going to have kids and they're going to watch that. They're going to be so mortified. Because I think of my parents when I was like 13, I used to make my dad drop me off like two blocks away from the school because I was so embarrassed by his car. Like he drove this like really large GMC. I don't even know what it was. Now I feel like it would be considered like a Jeep. Like all these people buy them for like $80,000. It was essentially that. But like in the late 90s, it was so uncool. And I would say, Dad, can you just drop me off like two blocks away and I'll walk? And he'd be like, why would you want to do that? He's like, absolutely not. Just going to catch my breath. That was a lot of exercise in that intro. Anyway, I think of all my tassel shaking. You know, I'm wearing my heart tassel t-shirt today. You might have seen it. It's literally one of my favorites. And producer Andrea found it a couple of months ago at Topshop. I think it was like Nordstrom's.com. I ordered it. People literally stopped me on the street and they were like, oh my God, I love your tassels. Do they shake? And then like for strangers, I have to just like shake my tits back and forth, back and forth. People are like, I love it. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I feel like that's one of those bad jokes where people are like, hey, you know, you can tell your intelligence by the size of your hand. You put your hand up and then they smack you in the face with it. I feel like people are basically trolling me with this shirt. They just want me to shake my tits and I fall for it every time. Anyway, welcome to the Hey Fresh Podcast. I love you guys so much. We're up to 392 reviews on iTunes, and I really want you to go and leave a review, okay? I get the craziest reviews. People never hold back. They say things like this. Hey, I've been following her since I first heard her on the radio, and I have not stopped. She's great. I think you're referring to me, but I'm not sure. Please stay independent. You and Paul are great, but feel that Danny has lost her credibility and mentally unstable. Okay, really? Like, we are not about trashing other people who are not even, like, full-time on this show. People hold nothing back. Look, I'm trying to get over 400 reviews on iTunes, okay? Over 400. Go to iTunes, leave a review, for God's sakes. If you don't like somebody, well, actually, it is kind of funny when you guys trash, like, Leslie and AJ. Like, I do kind of enjoy just kidding. They're not going anywhere. Leslie's our digital content creator. Shannon is here. She's our digital content creator. And then producer AJ. And this is the first time, by the way, in my life that I've worked with an all-women crew. I love it so much. I really do. And I feel bad about this, but I'm wondering if you are watching, because you know, you can watch us live every Monday and Wednesday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 a.m. For our West Coast friends. So I wonder about this. Like, do you ever begin to feel like you are, that you discriminate against a certain sex? Because I know I'm just putting it all out there today. But I gotta say, now that I work with an all-women crew, I don't want to go back to working with men. Isn't that terrible? That's really, I know. Someone will isolate that in a few years. That'll come back to bite my ass. I know. Whatever. It all comes back to you. Anyhow, whole point is I want to get to over 400 reviews on iTunes. I really want to get to 1,000, but I'm trying to get like, if I can get 8 more, I'll be thrilled. So if you have a spare moment, you're listening to us at work, once you're done driving, head to iTunes. You got to search Hey Fresh Podcast. Boom, leave a review. Tell us what you like. I got to thank our sponsors today, Mervis Diamond. They're the best in the business. If you are looking to get engaged, oh my God, they have the biggest variety of engagement rings in the DC area. They've got locations in Rockville, Maryland, downtown on K Street, and then in Tyson's Corner, they've got a beautiful store. They've got rings at all price points. They don't make it intimidating. If you want a direct introduction, I'll give it to you for Jonathan Mervis. You just email me, sarah@heyfrage.com. They were just voted by the knot.com as the best place to buy an engagement ring in 2018. They're terrific, terrific. Their customer service is unbelievable. Once you buy a ring from them, if you then want to trade it in, you can do that. And essentially, you'll get 100% credit, whatever you paid for it, back to purchasing a new ring. So definitely check them out, MervisDiamond.com. And thank you to Mervis for sponsoring the Hey Fresh Podcast. We love you. Also, I have to thank our sponsor, Green Chef. They are amazing. Green Chef sends premium organic ingredients and imaginative new recipes each week. Meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore. I should know. Dan and I have tried it. They are also the first USDA certified organic meal kit delivery service that includes everything you need to cook delicious gourmet meals that you can feel good about. So you get $50 off your first box. Just go to Green Chef. greenchef.us/heyfrage. $50 off your first box. You don't have to enter a code because when you put in greenchef.us/heyfrage, it takes you right immediately to the page. Healthier, wholesome, high quality, and sustainably sourced. Oh my God, we love that. We love that when they take care of other plants and animals and little insects. Okay, I'm all about that. I really am. Aren't you, Age? Go to greenchef.us/heyfrage and try them. Let me know what you think. So we have an incredible show. Producer AJ, how are you?
Sarah, how are you? I'm so good.
Are you? God, your lashes are on 100 today. You look so fucking hot. Oh, God. I'm supposed to be talking about your achievements. Ah! I do this all the time.
I know. But I defend you because I think that you can say a lot of things. So I love to hear gorgeous. I love to hear smart. So I'm defending Sarah. She can say gorgeous.
No, I really shouldn't.
I'm not supposed
to be talking about your looks, and that's all I'm fixated on. You and Liz, I'm like, you guys are so hot. But it's getting to the point it's creepy. It's almost like I want to skin you guys and wear you. It's getting really weird. Like, I mean, every time I see you two, I'm like, oh my God, you're so sexy and gorgeous. People are
I feel the same about you. I tell Dan all the time when I see him, I'm like, do you know who you go to bed with every night? He's like, she's already asleep by the time I get to bed. I'm like, damn. Because you go to bed at like 8 p.m.
I show him people's comments, too, that go, your man is so lucky. I go, you better appreciate.
Okay, I do. Okay,
and he goes, this guy looks mentally unstable. So, no, I'm like, what?
Our amazing client, Mark Livingstone, I remember the time that he took you out on a date. And so when he was at the live show, one of the live shows, I went up to Dan. And I was like, hey, are you nervous about your competition? He goes, who, Mark Livingstone? I go, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He is totally not fazed. I swear
He's
to God.
Not fazed. He's
John
not fazed.
Hamm could come in here and I would make out with John Hamm and he'd still be like, John Hamm doesn't want you. Like, it'll be fine. You'll be back to me. I'm like, wow, some confidence you have. Like, where do you get this?
He's really confident.
I know he
really
is.
Really confident.
And I'm not saying he's a bad looking guy.
Not at all. He's very attractive.
Yeah, but
smells
like,
good.
There's some things you could work on. Okay. Like, you know.
Is he really good at soccer? I know he coaches soccer.
Yeah, he is really good at soccer. But I'm talking about the romance department. Like, he is romantic, but like, he could seduce me more. You know, it's not like like, you know.
He doesn't come up behind you and grab you and say, you're so sexy. Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. And you know.
Who really does that? I don't think it exists.
I have no complaints about our sex life because we have a really fun sex life. But I'm like, but sometimes I'm like, you know, you're putting in a C effort here. Okay. So like, you could step it up.
I need you to step it up, Dan.
Yeah. It's not like you're always a hellcat in the sack. You know, you could really... He can really bring it more, you know? But the way he walks around, you would think, like, honest to God, you would think he was just like, he is.
Right.
He thinks he's Ronaldo, I swear to God.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, well.
Well, Dan, I got some news for you.
Yeah, keep working, okay? Anyway, we have a ton of stories. Speaking of that, I love this story. I want to know, have you ever gone out on a date with a straight guy? I know you've got a boyfriend, Iggy, who's adorable. Yeah. Speaking of, what is he working on for figurines? Has he got any new figurines he's painting?
It was his birthday recently, and guess what I got him for his birthday? I was struggling with what to get him, and I got him paintbrushes. That's what you get somebody who paints models.
Yes, he paints. AJ's boyfriend, and I can understand this, because everyone knows my stories. You know, Dan is a Star Wars, like, I mean, honest
fiend.
To God, fiend. Yeah. Oh, completely. He's counting down the years, the days, the minutes, till Disney apparently is going to launch, like, a Star Wars theme, like, hotel and area. So he wants us to like make a reservation next year for like 2021 to go to the Star Wars thing and fucking live in like a Sith home or something, like to stay. I know. I'm like, are you
kidding? People are gonna go crazy over that though.
Of course they're gonna go bananas.
Just not you.
And like, we've got to go and pretend that we're Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and all this bullshit. And then we'll probably have a kid. I don't know what that will be, a little Ewok running around. And then we're going to have to pretend like for a week that we live in
you
this.
You and Dan are not really hairy. Your baby is going to have no hair coming out. It's going to be a naked damn mole rat.
It is going to be a mole rat.
Like, literally.
I know. I know. Our kid is going to look like a little mole rat. You're right.
Mole rat. But
Dan
what
has like
green eyes, right?
I've got green eyes. I think he has more like brownish hazel.
Jesus Christ. Sarah, you don't know the color of his eyes?
Mm-mm, no, I don't. I barely remember his birthday. Isn't that awful? He just had his birthday.
Oh, I confuse my... Yeah, I know. But you guys have been together for 5 years. There's no excuses now.
Oh my God, none. I know. I should know all these dates. I know.
He's not really into his birthday, right?
No, he's not into it at all. So then I celebrate it. And like what I did this year, I put together my own wish list of gifts. I really did. I really did. And then his brother said, why don't you talk about on your podcast how you wrote a list of gifts that you thought my brother wanted and he really didn't, including a stainless steel pasta strainer. I said, yeah, because I want that.
But you'll cook pasta for Dan with his pasta strainer.
Of course. I take such good care. You've seen me.
Guys.
I mean, we are.
Dan waits on Sarah hand and foot until her next meal. And he's like, what do you think about Brussels sprouts? And she like chucks a shoe at him. I said I want broccoli. And he's like, okay.
He makes all of our meals.
I wonder what kind of pregnant woman you're going to be. And you're just going to demand all these things. And he's going to be all about it. You're like, today I wanted pickled cauliflower.
Oh my God, a huge gassy bitch, I'm sure.
Like Sammy Kay said. I was laughing so hard when he said that. He's going to gas you out, fart you out.
I know. I can't wait. I hope he has to fart me out. And even better, I hope, you know, because it's going to be a geriatric pregnancy because I'm going to be so old. So I'll probably have to be in bed and do this podcast in bed. I'm just going to have him come, like, move me so I don't get bed sores all the time. I can't wait. I'm hoping I'm bedridden. It'll be so great.
No, you really should do a podcast from your bed.
I'm going
to. That's going to be so fun.
Oh, absolutely. Please, I'm going to be in the hospital bed. I'm just going to have Dan like wait on me, hold the mic. Yeah. Okay. Shift my weight around. Yeah,
Podcast
absolutely.
Village. We're going to need one of those travel kits. We'll do a whole scene in the hospital.
I'll have a headset on with my huge belly and I just won't be able to move. Yeah.
That's because I can't
literally
wait.
Be 40. It'd be geriatric. Yeah.
Then geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh my God. And plus,
you're
like,
not even that old.
Well, I know, but I think once you're over 35, they consider you geriatric. Like, then it's like
crazy.
I know, isn't it bananas?
Women are having babies at 50.
I agree. I'm going to push the boundaries. 59 or 60. Huh? How about that?
All right. Now that's disgusting. That's not disgusting, but I always get hate mail. I always have to like watch myself. I'm like, okay, that's not disgusting. Somebody probably went through that and I have to like...
Oh, it's fine. Come on. You can't take our show that seriously.
You really can't.
Except for when we do serious topics. And then my God, we want a fucking Peabody. You better like take it seriously. Anyway, look, we got a ton of stories to get to. First of all, I can't even believe you're confessing this on the show. We need to talk about this. You wanted to talk about with our listeners, and we're live on Facebook, by the way. So you can leave a comment. Just go to my page, facebook.com, Sarah Fraser Pages, or at Hey Fraser Podcast. But you said you have a dirty, not really a dirty, but you have a secret habit that...
Did I say I was going to say this on the podcast?
Yes, you did. You sent it as show prep. We do show prep meetings like every single week. And here it is. Here's the exact thing. You have a habit that you don't share with people? I do. This is from AJ. I love this. When you stay at your friend's house, do you use their shavers, their hairbrush? Because I do. What?
Okay.
So you, I love this. When you're at my house, will you shave your legs with my razor? That's
okay,
amazing.
No, Sarah, because I know your dirty deets. Like, I know everything about you. So, like, I probably wouldn't choose your razor to use. But.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. If I know the person really well and I'm friends with them and we're about to go in the pool and I forgot my razor and like they don't want to see that, I feel like I'm doing them a service by using their razor my body. This I won't use it in private parts. I'll do my underarms though, which is technically a private part, I guess.
So you will shave your armpits and legs with someone else's razor and they don't know.
They have no idea. Usually I'll go into the bathroom and I'll like run the sink a little bit so it sounds like I'm washing my hands. Really, I'm taking it to the armpits.
Aren't you worried? Like, do you think you can get a disease or something from that?
Probably. Or if I have like an ingrown hair. See, I know that I'm not sick, but somebody else might be.
Okay, that's how I got herpes on my mouth. It was like, I thought like, oh.
It's fine.
I'll just sip out of your drink. Yeah. Meanwhile, now after like twice a year, I grow this massive cold sore. I'm like, oh God, thanks a lot. I got that from somebody in high school.
Yeah. I think I've also used your lipstick so many times.
You have?
I don't know, but now I'm worried. Every time you mention herpes, I'm like, oh, I forgot
my
about
God.
That.
Yeah, you don't want it. It's like, you get these cold
probably
sores.
Probably should get checked.
Painful. Yes.
So,
but I'm worried that, okay, you've got to confess. Like, people have to confess on social media. I want to hear this.
Yeah,
that's
what are your
pretty
dirty...
ballsy.
I know. I feel really bad, though. Well, I walk out all guilty.
You don't
and they're
feel
like, what's
bad.
Wrong? I'm like, nothing. I just use your razor. I mean, I don't tell them ever. Nobody
knows. If people have ever used like their a friend's toothbrush. Like, I always wonder that if you're traveling with people, because I used to travel with a girl in college. Like, she was part of our circle and she was so gross. Like, she would come and like she never brought anything. She never brought a toothbrush, toothpaste, floss.
Ew.
And I was like, I know that she is using ours. And
she has
like,
to be.
No, she just has it hidden somewhere. I'm like, this bitch does not have a toothbrush. She is fucking using ours. I swear to God.
Who doesn't bring a toothbrush on it? Maybe she forgets, but you have to go buy one.
I went to an all-women's college.
You're right. There's some crunchy granolas. They ain't using no toothbrush.
Crunchy. Yeah, she never had utensils. Not utensils, but like
hairbrush
basic,
or anything.
No. And I'm like, you guys, she's, yes, everything stunk. Yes. We went to Vegas one time. She left a huge turd floater in the like toilet and never flushed. Like, she would do stuff like that all the time. And Dan is convinced one time we all went to a wedding and he's convinced that she shit herself on the dance floor. And when did she?
Like bridesmaid style. Oh my God. How do you know? Why?
Because we were all on the dance floor. And all of a sudden, it smelled like a baby's diaper. And Dan and this other guy kept looking around going, what is going on? Like, what, someone cut the worst fart of their life.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she leaves the dance floor. Like, 30 minutes later, she comes back with a different dress on. And so Dan's working theory is she shit herself on the dance floor and had to go change. Because we were staying at the hotel where the dance reception was.
And she's not somebody to bring to, like, have an outfit change throughout the entire reception.
No, no, believe me. Believe me.
Oh my God.
It was the best. It was an epic moment.
Did you ever confront her? Maybe when she was really drunk, just be like, hey, did you poop yourself, by the way?
Oh, no, I should though. I should. That would be really good. I mean, you know what? Next time I see her, which will probably be in like 5 more years at like our college reunion, I'll be like, by the way, did you shit yourself 8 years ago at that wedding? Because it sure seemed like it.
I always say, are you really friends with someone if you haven't shit in front of them? I shit in front of all my friends in California.
What?
Remember, I shit myself because we partied too hard. I shit myself the morning after. And it was a real issue. And now we're all closer than ever.
Really? Maybe I don't have enough friends. I don't really have any friends. They're like dwindling. So no, I don't even have anyone to crap in front of. And Dan, still to this day, we do not fart in front of each other.
This, you guys.
And we don't go to, like, he prefers that I close the door when I go to the bathroom. Yeah, he really does.
Okay, I'm sorry, but this is too much. You guys have to start farting in front of each other. How can you be on the couch and you're holding it in, your stomach starts to hurt, and you just want to let it rip?
He's vegan. He's so tiny now. He's under like 150 pounds. He's like Kim Kardashian. So I don't even think he's got enough, sustenance to produce a fart. Like, I think he's holding on to every calorie.
Ounce of air he needs it to survive.
Every ounce.
Okay, do you ever have to fart when you're sitting on the couch and you're feeling it and you won't do it? You'll go to the other room?
No, I'll sometimes like announce it if I feel like it's coming, like to try to break the ice between us. Like, babe, I might have to fart. And he's like, let it rip, babe. Let it rip.
I love when they I think you say babe 5 times in a sentence. Babe, let it, babe. Babe, let it rip, babe. Babe, I told you, babe. I went to Iggy's parents' house. They fart in front of each other all the time. Like at the dinner table, they just fart.
What?
Yeah, they fart.
In front of you? Like the whole family?
Well, I didn't know this. And it was like maybe 3 months in and I was eating dinner with them and they just kind of farted. And I was like, oh, I got surprised. And I was like, well, what was that? And I didn't say anything. Yeah. And so they started, like, they all would just move to the side and then go and while we're eating dinner, and they all eat like a communal, family style, but they all fart in front of each other and it's not a weird thing. So after that, I was like, okay, AK doesn't give a shit.
Wow.
I could.
I feel so much better. Okay, good. That's great. All right.
Yeah, but you guys have to start doing it, actually.
I know. We really do. I swear to God, we don't. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's because like he just doesn't have any gas. Like he doesn't have anything left.
Yeah, some people really aren't gassy, which is really lucky. Yeah. I happen to be Mexican and I'm gassy. So we eat so much beans.
I know you do. You're so healthy, though.
No. But beans and cauliflower. You'll be farting for days.
There you go. Maybe you should put that out, like a farting diet. Anyway, we have a bunch of stories I want to get to. I want to hear your feedback on this. So I wanted to actually start this conversation. Have you ever gone out with, before Iggy, and then we get off on this tangent.
I know, right?
With a guy that you suspected was a straight guy, and this is like a no judgment zone.
Yeah.
But that he might have been wearing makeup.
No, I can't say that.
Really? I love this Washington Post article. Okay, so this guy, basically Benjamin Yu is his name, wrote this whole article essentially how he's a straight man and he is now wearing like a basic foundation. Okay?
Right, okay.
And he said that the first time he went on a date, he was very, very nervous. He watched YouTube tutorials to put on the makeup.
Oh.
By the way, I think this guy is really cute, but he says that he's really uncomfortable, always has been, with his looks because he was very acne prone when he was younger.
Oh, yep.
But I think he's very handsome. So he says that the hardest part for straight men, he's encouraging straight men, if they want, to wear more makeup to learn about it because it gives you confidence. But he says the hard part is you feel very scared. Here's a picture of him, by the way, AJ.
He's super cute.
I think he's super cute too. But he says that as straight men, how do you become not nervous with the fact that like you're wearing makeup? He looks great.
I can't even see any of the makeup. And you know, it's really sad that people feel that they're that insecure, they have to put makeup. And I totally agree. I mean, I have pimples all over my face. You can't see it because makeup. So women have this advantage over men.
Really? You
makeup.
Do?
Yeah.
Your skin looks really good.
Well, that's good. I have a huge one in the middle of my face. You can't see it because we cover it up. And I think men should be allowed to do that too. And there shouldn't be this stigma that it's weird. I mean, okay, don't cake on your face when we're making out and your makeup's coming off on me.
I think more men should wear straight. I think men should wear makeup.
Now, we don't have to go, full on mascara and and eyeliner, but a little foundation to cover up pimples is totally fine.
We've got to remember, I want to ask like the Mike O'Mara show, like the guys on there, like Oscar and Rob, like if they would ever wear makeup. Because I feel like that is a straight man's show. Like, so I want to know, Mike O'Mara.
Wait. They don't wear makeup, but Oscar will wear mattifying lotion, the stuff that we get from MAC.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait, yeah. It makes you not shiny, right?
Right, yeah.
But, okay, Shannon is married to Oscar. Shannon and Oscar are part owners of Podcast Village here, and then Shannon is our digital content creator. Wait, Shannon, do you think that Oscar would ever wear a toner just to, like, smooth out his skin, though?
A toner?
Like, or not like a toner, but like a light foundation, like this guy. You think he'd...
I think if he was on camera... Then probably, I mean, he would if I was like, here, you need some makeup.
But like, let me out on a date with you guys, do you think he ever would?
No.
No.
But because he doesn't need it. He's Latino.
Yeah, he's got good skin. I wonder if Mike O'Mara would wear makeup.
No. I don't think so.
No.
Rob Spiewak. Like,
no.
I think out of all of them, Rob would be like, okay, I'm into it. Yeah.
Actually, I do think Rob. We got to ask those guys the next time they're around, like, if they would ever wear makeup. I think this is great. I want to hold Dan down, and I want to give him Botox. I always talk about Dan. Like, I'm like, someday, honey, you're going to be like the Kenny Rogers of our relationship. I'm just going to get you to get, like, a massive, like, facelift, and you're going to be so nipped and tucked.
Nipped and tucked. No, Dan's so natural and organic, he'd totally be against all of that,
he's
right?
He's not into any of that.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, I think this guy is cute. I think rock it. He talks about all the insecurities that straight men have, which I'm sure they do, but I say go for it.
Well, he said he didn't wear makeup when he was with his girlfriend, but then she broke up with him and he lost all of his confidence, which is so, so sad. That broke my heart. And then he started wearing makeup because he thought that would make up for it. And, you know, when he started getting back into the dating world,
this guy is hot. I would sympathy fuck him. Absolutely.
Oh, you would simp. Wow, Sarah, how nice of you. You're just like the sweetest.
All right. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with this next story. In New Orleans, Vice.com did a recent article. They interviewed a funeral home for the past couple of years who has been burying and embalming people in like how they actually look. Are you not obsessed with this story?
I'm absolutely no, because I wanted to envision what Sarah Fraser would look like if she ever, you know, God forbid, passed away. What would we bury you like?
Oh, you're going to bury me like this, like I'm doing a podcast show. Yes. And that's what they say. This is inside the funeral homes, posing the dead like they're still alive. Okay. So they give examples of how a guy unfortunately passed away from a drive-by shooting. Okay. But his New Orleans family chose a unique way to say goodbye. He always would lean back with a Celtics jersey on in his gamer chair and play video games with Doritos. At the funeral, they put this guy like basically in the chair looking like laid back playing video games. And that's not the only one. They pose you like if you're
obsessed.
Oh my God, they've got a New Orleans woman posed with a Bush beer and menthol cigarette at her funeral, her favorite things to do. This guy's on a motorcycle. They pose you in real life. Like, is this do you find this creepy or cool?
I think this is amazing. This is how we should be remembered.
Okay, I'm sorry, but that dude looks real. He's dead and on his motorcycle?
And on his motorcycle.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what I would say. Like, what do you do? Do you kneel down at the motorcycle and pray at his knees? Like, what do you do?
You just salute a champagne flute.
Okay, I don't know if I can get into this. It is so weird. Look at this woman. Okay, oh, my God. She looks like Wendy Williams. She's propped up in a chair. She's got her menthol cigarette, glass of wine, Bush beer. Holy God. Okay. Oh my God.
All right. She looks.
I love it.
A little strange with the Jack Daniels in the background with the flowers.
I mean, she's posed like at her kitchen table. What do they do? They recreate your house? I mean, this is nuts. She's got little football helmets. Oh my God. I mean, I
love this.
Like, you don't want to be making fun of the dead, but this is amazing.
This is how you remember their best self. Her with her Bush beer and her menthols.
I mean, I do kind of think, look, if this is the gentleman I was telling you about. This is really sad, though. This guy was in his 20s. But I'm
that is really sad.
You know, look, if you live long enough, like if I live to be over 85, then I want you to do this for me, okay?
Oh, 100%.
Like,
I'm going to put you with a microphone.
Yeah, absolutely.
A vibrator.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Some rosé.
Vibrator?
Dan.
What?
And some pink
Well,
heart
who knows?
Tassels.
I could be on my third husband by then. I mean, we don't know. You know, I take Dan day by day, okay? Like,
we take it day by day with Dan. Yeah, we don't know how long he's going to last.
No, I always live my life like I could be getting divorced at any moment. So then if it works out, it's like a great surprise for everyone. I don't go into this like forever. I don't believe in that. Forever. How about forever? Let's just get through 24 hours. You know how in AA, they're like one day at a time? That's how I take my relationship.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. That's it. I love that. I think that's amazing. I also think this is pretty interesting. But do you think that well-known fashion designers are trolling us?
trolling us. Mm-hmm. Like, they're following our fashion trends?
Well, no, they're trolling us in the sense, and I thought this was kind of interesting, that fanny packs, prairie dresses, luxury shower shoes, is high-end fashion actually trolling us? Because they say some of these looks, including Birkenstocks that are back, and now designers like Givenchy and like Fendi are doing Birkenstocks that cost like $600.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Fanny packs, Gucci has like all these shower sandals that are hundreds of dollars. But these trends are really ugly. So they're saying,
horrible.
Like, is fashion basically trolling the American people of like, you know what? We're going to make you look as ridiculous as possible and we're going to make money off it. What do you think?
I feel bad for the people that actually believe this and they see Hailey Baldwin in these fugly ass shoes and the furry whatevers and people want to buy those. Like, because Hailey Baldwin, she obviously buys those and Kendall Jenner and everybody wears these ugly trends and then people want to follow, but it's horrible and nobody should follow.
According to the article, here's the thing. All these items are dowdy, arguably ugly fashion. Consumers are going to buy it because it's comfortable, familiar, and occasionally practical. Aesthetics be damned. Discerning eyes will adjust to the aesthetics. They always do. It takes time and patience. But now, shredded jeans look normal, and so do oversized stilettos. A high-necked ruffled dress fit for Laura Ingalls Wilder? Just great, they say. I mean, that is really hideous. I got to say, I love the fanny pack.
I dig the fanny pack.
The fanny pack is practical.
Fanny pack is good, but socks with the slip-ons?
You're not into that?
No.
What about the prairie dress? Are you into that? See, but I would wear that now just to get attention because I'm an attention whore.
So wear that to the live shows.
Yeah, I would. I would put that on.
And then, but yeah, no, that's a no for me, dog. No.
That's a no, really?
But fanny packs, yes. Ripped jeans, yes. All of these other ones, no.
What about Birkenstocks?
Birkenstocks
or Crocs? Are you into the Crocs look? Crocs?
No, I don't wear Crocs. I probably would though if I was you know living in the wild.
Really? I love Birkenstocks. I'd wear those. I'd wear Crocs. I'd wear it all.
Birkenstocks? I'm thinking of those other combat boots. The Birkenstocks are the ones on the.
You're thinking of Doc Martens?
Yes,
those are really trendy.
I do have Doc Martens, but Birkenstocks. Hey, I would wear them.
My thing is this, is like, I feel like fashion should not, I can't stand like the office look where everyone has like the frumpy, like business suit, like, and you have to wear that if you work for the government. Like, I love this stuff because let's stand out. Like, I love walking down the street and you see somebody and they're like bold and different. Like, it's like, good for you, you know? Everyone's so cookie cutter.
You have your own style.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love this, but a new company alleges that they are coming out with a water bottle that you never have to clean and it will never smell. In fact, it has natural bacteria and enzymes, the water bottle claims. So it will always be essentially smell-free and you don't have to wash it. This is according to Quartz.com. Bottle uses UV technology to neutralize bacteria, so you'll never have to have stinky water again. Ugh, that nothing is worse, by the way.
Agreed. But how do they do this? What is it? You touch the top of it and it purifies?
So it's UV. Yeah, it looks like you touch the top of it. Claims to neutralize 99% of germs. And it in just 60 seconds. You hold the button at the top. The demo looks like.
Yeah, but...
And then it like neutralizes the whole thing from a UV technology. I don't know how the fuck that works. I mean, does that even really work? No, I mean, UV technology, okay.
Buy a stainless steel and then usually the water never really smells bad.
Oh, no, it will.
You think it'll steel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have a bottle. I can't remember the name of it, but it's this like expensive brand and the water will totally stink. And so will the cap, actually.
Yes.
The plastic cap. Maybe it's not necessarily the bottle, but the cap. Like I had to end up like leaving it in the kitchen sink, sort of like cooking itself in white vinegar.
Right. Oh,
for
sure.
For like 24 to 48 hours to like get rid of it.
Bacteria, it seeks in there and just hangs out and festers.
It's something to do with the UV light. So it must be that when water doesn't see light, it starts to grow bacteria, I guess. They say your water will grow bacteria every 20 minutes, but not with this little guy. Drink up.
Do we know how much it costs?
That I actually don't know. It was in the article. I have to find it.
Okay. No, it looks like they're
it's
like
gotta be expensive.
Proto testing this. I know. I want to get one of those. We'll look this up. The next trend, according to wellness experts, they say that this is the next big thing in the wellness trend. It has nothing to do with an acai bowl or anything like that. It's about achieving happiness. The surge in unhappiness is a crisis that is hitting hard. According to a wellness expert, they're saying people like Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, and thousands of other Americans are more suicidal. Suicide rates are up across the United States because of the unrealistic expectations of happiness. Secondly, happiness is science. Since 2012, studies like the Global World Happiness Report and U.S. focused Gallup polls take the annual pulse on which nations and the U.S. Which nations are happier or most miserable. Many countries, from Ecuador to Australia, are now making people's happiness central to government policy, but not here in the United States. Loneliness is a big thing. The pursuit of happiness is going to be the next big thing in wellness. You believe that, AJ?
I loved this article so much because I suffer with being lonely and feeling depressed and feeling separated from the rest of the world because I'm always on my phone. Like in work, you always have to, like our job is very, you have to know media, you have to know stories, and you surround yourself with these things and you compare yourself to others. And it was encouraging you to be around, like put your phone down sometimes, be around friends.
Yep.
And company is the most important thing. Like the places that are happiest in the world are Sweden, Finland. And it's not because of their like government, you know, they always have to, everybody pays insurance and you get free healthcare. And they said that was a small factor of it. The real factor is how communal they are.
Yeah, they say when you digest the universe of happiness science, there's one overwhelming takeaway, human connection and a supportive community. I feel like we've been hearing that forever, though, with friends, family, colleagues. That's the thing, though, is like, okay, so they tell you to have friends, but like, everybody's got to have friends. I mean, I have to believe Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade had friends.
Had so many friends.
I mean, that's what to me is like, okay, then what the fuck are you supposed to do with the friends? Just going out socially? Like, what do you mean? Like, okay, great, I've got tons of friends, but you can still be lonely. It's like, I think they were talking about deep meaning relationship connections, I guess.
Yeah, and they were comparing like how much money you make, and they said once you hit 75K,
yes,
you should be a sustainable lifestyle that makes you happy and you're able to.
Yeah, they actually do say it's simply about spending more quality time with actual people. Okay, well, so funny, I'm trying to get away from people, so I don't know what the hell that says. I am.
Just hang out by yourself.
My job is social. I love to come on. I love interacting with you on Facebook. I love being like seeing you in real life. But then like I need to go home and recharge like without people. I love not talking. I love being in silence.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to get less friends. People always hit me up. Do you want to go for coffee? No, I want to be left alone.
Actually, I always ask you to go for drinks and you're like, oh, I'm already in bed. Sorry. I'm like, okay, bye.
I try. It's cool. Yes, it's so bad. I know. But maybe that's because my job is social. I guess if you're in a job where you don't have a lot of human interaction and maybe you're socially awkward. I've always been outgoing. I've had a lot of friends.
Yes.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
In my life, which is awesome. I'm very lucky to have that ability. But now I want them to go away.
Yeah. And bye, everybody. Bye, friends. Never hit up Sarah. And you're so passionate about what you do, which is actually another thing that they said. Once you're passionate about what you do in your life, that's a huge factor. And eating foods like nuts.
Oh, really?
They said that. Yeah, yogurts, nuts.
Okay, I don't believe this either. Anthony Bourdain ate like the best food.
He did.
Okay, like I don't.
He did. I have no explanation for Anthony Bourdain other than he suffered from depression.
I also want to talk about this story. This is kind of like jumping around a little bit, but I love the survey of 2,000 men reveal their weirdest and worst bathroom habits. I thought this was so good. I want to know like what Iggy would do. Like
I'm going to go lesbian if you tell me all these. So let's go.
Really? They surveyed 2,000 men. 28 minutes is the average time it takes a man to use the bathroom, okay, in the morning to get ready for work, a date, or other important life events. You believe that?
Oh, so you're saying that they actually spend more time than they say?
Yeah. Well, according to this.
Okay.
Over 70% admit they have no issues breaking wind in front of their partner. We talked about that. Okay, where's my man's like in the 30 percentile?
Yeah, I feel like that's a 70, but it's huge.
1 in 5 only wash the important bits rather than their entire bodies when they take a shower. Do you believe that?
I believe that, and that's disgusting. Wash your whole body.
2 in 5 claim to only brush their teeth once a day. The same goes for using dental floss. I believe that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't floss twice a day.
I definitely don't floss twice a day, and my dentist lets me know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like, how many times do you floss a week? I'm like, a month? Oh. I floss... One, two, three.
7 in 10 regularly clean under their fingernails. The same figure applies for cleaning their ears. All right, well, that's good. 7 in 10, that's 70%. Yeah. Over 50% admit to preferring to sit down to pee. Have you ever seen Iggy sit down to pee?
No, but he does close the door and sit there for like hours. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you okay in there? I think he grunts when he poops too, which is also gross. He'll put the air vent on, mm-hmm. and I just hear like, ugh.
Wow, sounds like you need more fiber. Really? I mean, really. 1 in 10 are guilty of public toilet behavior, like not flushing or peeing on the seat. Ugh. 1 in 5 refuse to clean the porcelain after a deadly number 2. Okay, come on. Really? I mean, what kind of crap are you surveying on this?
Does Dan always put down the toilet?
Yeah. After like, he pees? He's like super clean.
That's really like, nice. Yeah. I don't live with my boyfriend, but he always leaves the toilet up when I'm there. And I'm like, can you? But I feel bad asking him. Is that a lot to ask to put the seat down?
No, put the seat down. Yeah, okay. I feel like. And then 4 in 5 are gaming and Instagramming when sitting on the toilet.
Believe it. I do that too. That.
Yeah. I feel like women have a lot of these same behaviors, by the way. I mean.
Or animals too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We sit on the toilet and then we play on.
Candy Crush.
Instagram. Yep. Pinterest. Amazon. Ooh, I go shopping. Yes. Yeah. I do a lot of shopping on the toilet. Like I will have stopped going to the bathroom. Like 10 minutes before. And sometimes Oscar does the same thing. He will be in the bathroom for like 20 minutes and then I have to pee. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, can you get out of there? What are you doing?
Yeah. And he's just playing a game.
Yeah. No. He's like, I was checking email. And I'm like, well, we only have one bathroom, man. Get out.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, I totally hear you.
You're really fast at going to the bathroom.
I am?
Like literally 2 seconds.
Well, that's just because I'm going pee. Like, I try not to loaf at work. Like,
are you a wipe forward or a wipe back?
Wipe back. Front to back. You're never supposed to wipe the other way. Okay, this is turning into a complete guide on how to, like, take a shit on this show. This is, like, really gone downhill.
But you know how people will go from the front?
Yeah, but that's really bad.
It's bad, yeah. So I always, like, do it from, you know, your hand is around. Okay, yeah. I mean, when I'm in the bathroom, when I'm at bars with my friends, like, do you want to go to the bathroom with me? I'm like, okay. And then I watch them how they wipe. And I'm like, oh, that's not how I do it.
From the front like that? No, you got to reach around.
Yeah, they'll be squatting and they do it from the back to the front.
Oh my God.
What do you guys think? I don't know.
Well, people will leave comments for sure on Facebook. So I'm sure we'll be getting a ton of comments. A couple of stories that actually happened a little while ago, but we didn't get a chance to get to. Did you ever read this story of the McDonald's, the guy that worked at McDonald's that then stole about $23 million an ex-cop that rigged the chain's Monopoly giveaway? I feel like a lot of people have read this. Did you read this story?
I don't think I read this because I was so pissed off because I always played Monopoly at McDonald's and I never won a damn thing.
Well, it's completely, first of all, your odds of winning are like worse than the lottery, right? Worse than the lottery. But McDonald's was required to give away $25 million to random customers in the aftermath of its Monopoly giveaway scandal. The fast food chain was defrauded out of more than $24 million in a scheme in which a ringleader reportedly distributed winning Monopoly game pieces for a cut of the prize money. McDonald's agreed to give away the equivalent amount of money to customers as part of a class action lawsuit, which culminated in an under-the-radar event in which 15 random customers were each awarded $1 million from the chain. So for many years, like, nobody even knew this story was happening because it was an ex-cop that worked for McDonald's that was rigging the game. Okay. And essentially, he had access to this company in Georgia where they printed the pieces, and he ends up stealing a roll of, like, they had like non-tamper with stickers, right? Or like and like a seal. Okay.
Right.
So he gets his hands on that, leaves the company. It's his job basically to oversee that these pieces are going wherever they are across the country, right? But essentially what he would do is end up figuring out which pieces were going where, open them, and then reseal them with
The winning ones.
Well, no, he would take the winning ones, hide them.
Oh.
Put the envelope or put the box with a bunch of non-winning ones, seal it with these, you know, tamper-proof seals that he's stolen, and then send them off.
How many years was this whole thing going on?
For like several years until they figured it out. Launched in 1987, McDonald's Monopoly game offered customers the chance to win up to $1 million. Now, this happened in the 90s, okay? By a guy, Jerry Jacobson, masterminded the scheme and then defrauded McDonald's out of $24 million through the promotion. The Daily Beast ran an in-depth report on the incident, which I read the article. It was a very, very long, like, long thing.
Right.
Jacobson's network won almost every prize in the Monopoly game for 12 years until the scheme began to fall apart after the FBI received a tip in 2000. In 2001, more than 50 people were convicted of mail fraud and conspiracy in connection with the Monopoly scheme. So it took them like 20 years. Yes. McDonald's was not implicated in this scheme, but it pledged that it would hold a new giveaway to return money claimed by Jacobson's network back to customers who had tried to win Monopoly's giveaway fair and square. 2 weeks after the attorney general revealed the game had been rigged, the chain gave away $10 million to 55 random customers. However, the $10 million wasn't enough. As part of the settlement for a class action lawsuit against the chain related to the Monopoly scam, McDonald's agreed to give away another $15 million to random customers because it had been so rigged for so many years. So for like 13
years. And who did they
choose?
What random people did they choose?
Apparently, Jacobson, it was like, so he was an ex-cop, so it would be friend of a friend or like someone.
Oh, okay.
And so they would ascend, he would kind of meet with them in person and be like, okay, do you want to win the $200,000 prize? Yeah. Then you're going to win the prize and you're going to give me $45,000 in cash, sometimes before they even won.
So were they arresting all the people that were involved?
Yes,
the guy,
I think they prosecuted a lot of the people. Yeah, because they were giving kickbacks. Like they knew it was illegal.
Okay.
But this has been quietly happening. And then, of course, like the Daily Beast just did this big expose.
Right.
So like over the years, they've been prosecuting these people, but it's been like one person here or there. So like nobody really like didn't pay attention to it until mm-hmm. the Daily Beast did this big expose. Crazy.
I would do that once and then I would say, okay, we got the money. Let's stop doing it. They'll never know. But this guy kept on doing it. And that's why they found you. Stupid.
I know, stupid. I mean,
eventually you're going to get caught.
I'm sure you read the story. It came out a couple weeks ago, but we just get so busy on the show. I never get a chance to get to all of the stories.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So I wanted to talk about that one because it was, I never even bothered to play that game. Did you?
Yeah.
You did?
My parents had a bag of all the things.
What?
And they just like gave it to me. They're like, figure out if we won. I'm like, okay, we didn't. But so I sat at the table like it was a puzzle and I put all the pieces together on this damn board. And guess what? We never won anything. We always
That's
got super close.
That's because it was rigged the whole time.
Because it's rigged. And so what random people did they choose to give all the millions of dollars to? Because I sat there for hours and I obviously would have won if it wasn't for this jackass.
I would have liked to have known. Like, yeah, that's crazy that you guys tried to play and it
I mean, my parents did it for fun for me, but I took it so seriously. I would have to go get a mini fry like almost every day after school so I could make sure that I got the piece.
Oh,
and
God.
It never worked.
That is so frustrating. I got another question for you. I want to know. A person hit me up. I want to know, and I definitely want you guys to weigh in on this on Facebook because I'm really torn. I'm getting asked this question more and more. How well do you have to know somebody before you say it's okay for them to use you as a reference? Okay?
Okay.
I am now getting, and I'm very flattered and I love being nice to people. I always love encouraging people. I feel like, you know, lots of times along the way, people told me like I would never be on TV. I would right. never like have my own business. And in a way, like at first that those words really hurt, but then they really motivated me. And mm-hmm. I'm trying not to be spiteful as I have more success, but it's really hard for me not to call these people and be like,
yeah.
fuck you.
Yeah.
How much do you hate me now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was really awful.
Yeah, that was a little intense. Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying not to be a bitch, okay? But anyway, so a lot of people reach out to me and then I'll have like conversations with them via text, but I've never met them in person.
Well,
I've had two gentlemen. One guy I've actually met in person once, never really worked with. These two guys want to use me as references for jobs. And I'm like,
not okay.
How am I? I mean, how well do you? They seem like they're very nice on social media.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm like, isn't that odd that you want to use me? I know that I'm sure that they're doing it because like
your name and you're
right.
very successful,
and
obviously.
One guy, but one's a photographer, one guy's in media. So, you know, I
right.
think they're like, oh, you know, your name will go far. And,
yes.
And I like don't want to, like, I don't want to
be mean to them.
Right. I don't want to not help them. But like, do you think that I should just say no? Like, do you think that's like a little much?
Well, it's really hard because you have to think about the employer that's going to hire them, and you're putting that person at a disadvantage when you give them a false, you know, you've never really hung out with these people. They've never worked for you, So you can't really give a true representation of what they are in the workplace, right?
But here's my thing is like, I just wonder because I, believe it or not, you know, I tell this story, but I've never, no business has ever looked at my resume. So I've never been hired from a resume. I don't even think, I think the last time I did a resume was 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
How did you, oh my God. Well, yeah. For your big radio jobs, you kind of knew somebody and then you met them from there?
Absolutely. Okay. No one's ever looked at my resume. No one's ever asked me for my fucking college diploma, which was a waste of $130,000.
Okay. I was just going to say that. I was like, good. The great thing, I went to a private college and nobody's ever going to use that.
Not worth it. I know.
That kills me. My soul is draining inside of me.
It's totally draining. So, you know, my thing is this, like, I just wonder, I'm not really in the workplace space anymore. So I'm like, you know, are references, do they really follow up with references nowadays? Do they not? Because I'm wondering, like, maybe these guys just need to put like a name, but they're not going to really follow up. You know what I mean?
Right. I can say this a year ago, my references were all reached out to when I was applying for a news station. And
weren't
they all reached out.
Working here a year ago? I love that you're always applying for other jobs. Like, she always says, she comes in there, she goes, you know who I really want to work for? Elvis Duran. I'm like, bitch, you work for me. Like, what? She's always like, oh, you know what? It would be great if I was going to work today for Elvis. What?
I never
said. This isn't good enough for you?
This is so good. But, you know, you're always looking, you know.
Oh, what, you're always looking. You know, okay.
You know, you're always going to keep your options open. No, but I'm definitely here to stay until you fire my ass. And then I'll be like, all right, I guess I got to, you know, apparently nobody looks at resumes anymore. So I'm going to hit you up after you fire me for a recommendation.
But you really worked for me. Like that, like I would totally recommend you 100%. Right. I don't know. I hate saying no to people in circumstances like this.
What are they
asking
you for? What kind of reference? Like, well, this guy has a hard work ethic. He's amazing. What kind of stuff?
No, this guy is applying to a TV station.
Oh.
In DC.
Okay.
But I'm like, I don't know what you're like. I don't know. Should I inquire more questions or should I just say no?
I think you have to say no. Well, you never worked with him. You don't even know him.
I know. I think so too. As much as I would love to help him, I feel like, I don't know your work ethic.
Dude, you could suck and I would give the person the wrong info.
Dude. Yeah. You guys can always email to sarah@heyfrage.com. Every Monday we do pineapple mail on the show. Pineapple mail is when we read your comments, your feedback. So always, and I get a lot of it and I'm trying to go through it as soon as possible. And a lot of people ask me like, oh, are you ever going to email me back? Like I sometimes get people and I'm like, look, anytime you email, we read almost all the emails on air. We don't use your like first name. We just read it and then we use like a first name. And I usually try to give an answer live on air.
Yeah, I love reading the pineapple mail. I mean, even though if it's just completely slashing me, I love to read it.
I know, it's
hate
so
mail
good.
Or love mail. We love it.
Oh, send people it love you. People
no,
love
send it all.
You're a big fan. And actually, I got a Facebook message. I just got a Facebook message about you as well. So
while you're looking for that, I wanted to give a little apology for saying that my dog was attacked by a pit bull because my mom is legally blind and she doesn't actually know if it's a pit bull. It could be a mix for sure. And I was not badgering any type of pit bull. If you have a pit bull, it's probably an amazing dog. Very sweet. They are known to be an aggressive breed. So that's why I think my mom, you know, concluded that it was a pit bull. But
wait a minute. Where's that coming from? Who asked that you apologize?
Well, somebody said on, you know, she wrote me a very nice message and she said, I know pit bulls have a bad rep, but, you know, I have a pit bull and I love my pit bull and I totally respect that. You know, if you fall in love with a dog, you fall in love with a dog. Every dog, I'm obsessed with dogs. So, and my mom is blind. She's like, how does your mom know that it was a pit bull? And I'm like, you're right. She probably doesn't know, but there is a mean pit bull in our neighborhood. So she kind of thought that. But yeah, I wasn't saying pit bulls are bad. Pit bulls are great. If you want to rescue a pit bull, rescue a pit bull. My pit bull rant is done. Okay.
I'll rant about him, which is this. I've got one that's moved into my building and I want to know when I can become, you know, freak out Frage on the dogs or like, I don't know, what am I going to call it? Like,
yes, train your pit bulls or train
Hashtag, you can call me right now. Hashtag, you know.
Crazy Frage.
Basically, I'm going to find a way to report this woman and her pit bull because my thing is this, is I'm not against the breed. I believe that a lot of people who are pit bull owners are not equipped to handle a dog like that. I think the woman that wrote you, I saw that email. She sounds like a very dedicated person who probably understands the breed. I do not think that most people who own a pit bull understand the breed. I think that they think that they're doing this great service by rescuing a dog that then eats your face off, you know, because they don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, and there was another person.
For like a blanket statement, okay? That'll be all over. People are already mad. And I had a couple years ago, people know this about me. We had a woman in Canada who advocates for, she basically wants to ban, no, she advocates to ban pit bulls like in communities in Canada.
Okay, I'm not, I have no relation to this.
I signed her petition. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I do not
save your hate mail. Save your hate mail. Anyway, we did get Mary Beth, by the way, who is Dan's cousin. She, remember like a couple episodes ago I was talking about when I came back from vacation from North?
Yeah.
She's the nurse that works in ICU and knows people's hearts. Yes. But every time I see her, I'm like, oh my God, Mary, can you feel like my lymph nodes? Like, how do I look? Has my skin look okay? Do I look gray? I mean, do I look like I have cancer? What's going on? You know, I'm like paranoid. You know, I always am at the doctor. So she says, I feel like I need to clarify. I could totally read your lipid panel because I was asking her to do that. Like, I want to get my blood drawn, have her read my lipids.
Oh, yes.
But just don't ask me about anything vaginal related or to check your glands. Also, she says, I love AJ and Leslie. Definitely keep them on the show. You guys are not going anywhere. You have tons of fans.
That does warm my heart. Thank you.
No, people love you. I'm not
replacing anybody on the show. People think like, oh, we're replacing people. No, we added a day. We're 2 days a week now. We have to have.
You're on this show for life. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Yes.
All right, good.
And I'm buying you more balloons, whatever it takes for you to stay. All right, everybody. You guys, we love you. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes. Hey, Fridge, tell us what you love. Tell us what you hate. Give it to us. Give it to me. Bye, everybody.
Shake the tassels. Shake the tassels.
It's really bad when your fat rolls jiggle more than your boobs. Hey, Fraser, I like it. Everybody! How come the show goes so fast?